I was asked to speak this morning to the topic, the Word of God. Last night, I started digging around and doing some studying and doing some praying over this message this morning. And the thing that God has laid on my heart this morning is something that comes from a study that I did back in the early 50s. Nothing very new. And Jerry, you can turn off. You've heard this one 100 times, I imagine. But these are some thoughts that God gave me early in my Christian life. But as I have met some of the men that that I've had the privilege of fellowship with down at Laredo and down at Sam Houston, Fort Sam Houston, and down at Fort Hood and other places, I thought, you know, I'd just like to share some of these thoughts with these men. And it has to do with the importance of the Word of God in my own life. What happens to my life when I really begin to expose myself to God through His Word? And not just on a once-a-week basis, like, you know, the attendance upon the Word of God and the hearing of the Word on Sunday mornings, but a daily feeding of my own life. Texans are very aggressive people. They're full of life and full of fire. And they're a going people. And that's good. And I always like to get down here to get some of that rub off on me because I'm kind of a sluggard. I'm kind of lazy and sleepy, you know. And it's good to me to get exposed to some people who really can hit it. And that's a strength. But it can also be a weakness. Because in our work for God, activity is not the key thing. Activity can be a great blessing, but activity can be a curse. Getting so involved or running so many places and doing so many things that we don't really have time for the things that pay off in the long haul. And I think, I don't get around a great deal, but I get around some, and I see people who think that if they can get busy enough, or if they can get some little method or technique or idea and put it to work. We had a businessman come to Glen Eyrie some years back who told us that if we would give this set of verses in this order, every time we talk to someone about Christ, use these same verses in this same order, using these same illustrations, he would guarantee 87% success. Well, there's a little of that going around, you know that? A dependence upon methods and techniques and activity and busyness. But salvation did not originate in the mind of man, and it cannot be propagated on a human level. It is God who would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. It is God who is not willing to perish, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God who sent His Son to seek and to save that which is lost. It is God who is adding to the church daily such as are being saved. And my first and foremost responsibility is vertical. My own personal walk and fellowship and relationship with God. And anything short of a heart intensity to God, a strong vertical relationship with God on a daily basis, is sort of doomed to a horizontal failure. You cannot organize Christian activity like you would organize a Red Cross drive. Our own walk with God. That is kind of the heart of it. my first and primary concern is my own personal fellowship and walk with the Lord. And of course, we fellowship with God as we're in His Word, as He speaks to us through His Word, as we're in prayer and this relationship. And that is why, by the way, during this day, as we have planned our conference, you will see that we are overbalanced. I believe we have one workshop on the subject of witnessing. And all the rest have to do with how to make Christ the center of your life. Five ways to saturate your life with the Word of God. How to have a quiet time and fellowship with and so on, and so on, and so on. And that is by design. Because that is where the emphasis must be. And when a man begins to expose himself to the Word of God, certain things begin to take place in his life. For instance, it is through the Word of God that we learn the message of salvation in Christ and the gospel is presented. God has chosen to draw men to Himself as they are exposed to the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's a verse in that's by the way. I notice some of you are taking notes. Good. Some of you people who are here for the first time at a Navigator conference for the first time, you'll see a strange thing begin to develop about now during this day. Those who have been around for a while down here will have their notebook out. And whenever a verse is given, they'll jot down that scripture reference. That's a good idea because then you can take these references home and rethink them and meditate on them and kind of take the conference back with you and meditate on the scripture verses that are given. So during the day, you'll notice we'll try to give you the references so you can jot those down and then take them back. Psalm 119, 155. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. I could give my own testimony how God drew me to Himself as I sat and read the Bible. The reading of the Scriptures, and God drew me to Himself. And after I came to know the Lord, as I had read the Scriptures through and had discovered the message of salvation and given my life to Christ, there was one thing I needed to do. And that was grow. I was a brand new babe in Christ. I didn't know anything. I was tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, anything that would come along. I didn't know whether it was right or wrong. I didn't know how to find out whether it was right or wrong. I was just, you know, ignorant. Totally ignorant. I needed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, there's a verse in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 that says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Acts 20:32. The Apostle Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." The Word of God is able to build you up. Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Feeding upon the Word of God. You see, Jesus Christ taught us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in Matthew 4:4. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23:12. I have one daughter. I have two sons and a daughter. My daughter, when she was small, you could tell what she wanted by the kind of crying she would do. If she was afraid, she would kind of let go with a sound that you could tell, ooh, she's afraid of something. And then if she was hungry, that was a whole other kind of sound. Then if she was just mad as all get out, that was another kind of sound. And you kind of identify what she was kind of going through by the kind of sound she gave off. Now, in the middle of the night, or toward, you know, morning as the dawn was breaking, as she was in this little crib, there'd come this wail of a banshee from that room, just this piercing scream. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't mad. She was hungry. So one of us would stumble around, you know, we'd find that thing, we'd put it in the water. I understand you don't even have to put it in hot water anymore. Just take it and, you know. And she'd be screaming, you know, and hollering and going through all this rigmarole. And I'd be testing it, you know, and I didn't know for sure, but, you know, a little, I saw that happen. I'd be testing around. And you'd go in, there'd be this, and all would be quiet. You know, just silence, contentment, pure joy and contentment. Why? Well, old Beck, she knew what she needed. She needed food. God had so constituted her to enable her to communicate this thought to us, and so that we could... And now here she is, junior high school. Good night, junior high school. Amazing thing. And it's happened like that. Just, and there she is. You know? What happened to her anyhow? Well, it all started with that milk bottle. You know that? So the whole thing got started. You know? Feeding her that milk bottle, and then she would, and she began to grow, slowly but surely. Now, she wouldn't worry about growth. She didn't, you know, get all panicky about, am I growing or not? She ate and ate and ate and ate. She consumed tons of food, and now here she is, you know. I know that there are some people in this room who are new Christians. What you need to do is get into the Word of God and begin to feed and nourish your soul on the Word of God. You need to begin to memorize it and study it. Write it upon the table of your heart. Have a consistent reading program. And then you watch what happens as God, the Holy Spirit, uses that in your life and begins to conform you more and more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Growth. Now there's another verse that says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Hebrews 5, 12 and 13, I think it is. Who is a babe in Christ? The man who was unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And I submit to you that you can be sitting here this morning in this lovely sanctuary, enjoying the fellowship of other believers in Christ, having known the Lord for 5 or 10 or 15 years, and you can be a babe in Christ because you have neglected the Word of God down through the years. You've relied on somebody else to dig it out and then feed you that pablum year by year by year. But strong meat belongeth to those who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But you've relied on somebody else. You probably have a godly pastor in your church, and he digs and he feeds and he nourishes his life and he tries to share his heart with you. But that's still second-hand feeding. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I heard Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigator, say one time, he said, "If some of you were as old physically as you are spiritually, you would fall off the pew." That may be true with some of you this morning. And maybe what you need to do is begin to dig into that book and mean business with God and start really feeding and nourishing on the Word of God and stop neglecting the Scriptures. When I was back east, my wife and I represented the Navigators for a little while in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We met a young man back there. He was the captain of the soccer team. And he came to know the Lord. Big, handsome sort of a guy. Kind of a wheeler-dealer around campus. And one day he came to me and said, Lee, well, I'm a Christian now. You know, I need to... There are a lot of things I was doing before I became a Christian that I find they're still hanging on. I find that I'm still sort of doing a lot of these things, and I don't want to, and I kind of pray about it, but I don't know what to do. I've got certain habits. What would you have told him? Well, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. 9 and 11. The Word of God has a powerful cleansing effect upon the life. John 15:3, for instance. John 15:3, Jesus Christ speaking, he said, Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. John 17:17. Let me speak to the young men. You're a Christian. Are you ever troubled with evil thoughts? Does your thought life bother you? Do you find yourself thinking things that pull you down and away from Christ, as opposed to thoughts that elevate you and bring you closer to the Lord? That ever happened to you? Well, if you're normal, that happens to you. We're living in a world filled with corruption and evil, and we're men. What do you do about that? I'm sure you get disgusted with yourself. I'm sure you tell yourself, boy, this is no way for a Christian to act, you know, in your saner moments. How do you overcome that? Do you try to drive these thoughts from your mind? Let's see how well that works. We'll just take a couple minutes here, and you forget the number 13. Let's just all take the number 13, men and women, let's all just take the number 13, and you forget it. You sit there and forget it now. And when you've forgotten it, raise your hand. Well, the more you try to forget it, the bigger it gets. You know, number 13, I'm going to work to forget it. You know, you're getting this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your... You've forgotten the number 13, by the way, now. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What happened to you? Well, we put something else in its place. The Word of God has a powerful cleansing effect upon the mind. And I submit to you that as you lay up the Word of God in your heart and write the Word of God upon the table of your heart, this has a powerful cleansing effect upon your life by the washing of water by the Word. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. I was in Seattle, living in the Navigator home there, receiving my training. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the way we go about this, but in the Navigators, in order to train our staff and train future Navigator representatives, well, they move into the home of a Navigator who is living there, and then they live kind of as part of that family. You see, you get to know a lot more about a man by living in his home than you do by hearing him preach a sermon. you look at me here today and you draw some kind of an impression. You should move into my home and live there for a week. Your impression would change. You know that? You'd learn a lot more by living with people than you do by just sort of hearing them talk, or once a week being exposed to myself or somebody else standing up and talking to you. So we move these young men into the home, and we work with each other. They watch our lives, they see what we do, and so that's what I did. I was living in this home in Seattle. And a young lady came to know the Lord named Erica. She was a Russian girl. She and her husband lived on the other side of Seattle. And my wife was meeting with her in Bible study, helping Erica grow. And one day Erica came and said, "I would like someone to speak to my father." So this was years ago. I was young and dumb and stupid, and I'll be glad to go. So out I went, Bible in hand, looking for, and I got to the door, knocked the door, walked in, and here was this huge Russian. A handlebar mustache, no less. Steel gray eyes that when he looked at me, it went straight through. What is he seeing? What is he doing? He looked at me. He was as straight as a ramrod. And he was mad. Because here came somebody to talk to him about God, and he was not interested. So I said, hoping I was wrong, "Is that your father?" "Yeah, that's the father." "Oh, yeah, that's the father." So he said something in Russian, and I said, "What did he say?" I was hoping he would say, "Get out," He said, "Sit down." So, okay, so I sat down, and I didn't know what to do. And he sat there looking at me, and I stood there looking at him, wanting. I said, "Does he have a Bible?" "Yes." A Russian Bible?" "Yes." "Would you get it?" So they brought out this huge, hardbacked Bible. Not the pliable kind, but a hardback. And he took it in his huge hands and sat there with the thing. So I said, Erica, have him turn to so-and-so. And I gave him a verse of Scripture. So she translated, he turned to it, and I said, "Would you have him read it to you?" And he read it to her. Then I took another one, and another one. And he just sat and read to his daughter, and another one. And that lasted for, a couple hours. He was just reading to her. And I said, "Did he get the right one?" "Yes." I took him from way back here concerning man's sin and rebellion against God, and let him see what God had done in sending his son to die on the cross, and how man in turn must respond to that gift of salvation, and how man in turn must open his heart to Christ, and so on. And we got about along in here, I noticed his countenance changed, and he began to relax a little bit. So I began to share such verses as, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And so on and so on. Pretty soon he stopped, and he bowed his head, and he began to weep. The kind of a sob that you hear at a funeral. Way down here somewhere. And tears began to splash out on the floor there. A heart had been confronted by Christ, and the Holy Spirit had melted that heart. And this big man wept his way to the foot of the cross and gave his life to Christ. He began to pray and sob. What had happened? I hadn't spoken a word to him. I hadn't argued with him. I hadn't done a thing. He had read the Bible for a little while. In retrospect, I asked myself, how effective would I have been had I gone there and had a young man named Scott, about 4 years before, had he not begun to exhort me to get into the Word of God and to memorize it, to memorize the Scriptures. And I was a fairly new Christian, 2 or 3, 4 years old in the Lord, but I had a number of passages written upon the table of the heart. And the Holy Spirit brought some of those to mind, and I began to share them. Just the Word of God, as I shared them, God brought them to my remembrances, and I just shared the Scriptures that I had laid up in my heart year by year. There's a verse that says in Ezekiel 2, verse 4, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." That's your message. Your message is, "Thus saith the Lord." Senior Master Sergeant K. Crumbry down here pulls quite a bit of weight around the people that he works with. But K. would still rather say, "Buddy, thus saith the Lord," than "thus saith K. Crumbry." How does this sound? "Thus saith Leroy Ives." Kind of hollow, isn't it? That doesn't bring that much to it. Wish I'd have never said it, you know. But when you can say, "Thus saith the Lord," that's what counts. And that is your message. If you're around people who are stiff-hearted and impudent. You Aggies have anybody down in that camp here that's a little stiff-hearted toward the things of God? Is Aggie land pure righteousness? Everyone just walking around waiting to be saved? Is that what you find down there, Bo? That's not what you find, is it? Impudent children and stiff-hearted. What is your approach to that kind of a people? On your campus, where you work, I submit to you the only thing we have is the Bible. Sharing the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. The Word of God. Proverbs 22, 20 and 21. "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." God has written us excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that we might know the certainty of the words of truth, that we might in turn answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. My time is gone. I'm going to quit. I've got a whole list of things listed down here as to what God will do in our lives as we begin to apply our hearts to His Word. Growth. For that alone, it would be worth getting into the Word of God to grow up and become strong, robust, active Christian. The cleansing of my life. A clean life and a clean heart before God. That alone would be reason enough. Witnessing, a better witness for the Savior. That alone, all of these things by themselves would be enough of a reason to motivate me to mean business with God and to get into His Word and begin to feed my soul. He lists these and many more. And that's what today's conference is all about. As we will try to help you learn simple, practical means to learn to feed on the Word of God and fellowship with the Savior. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so glad you've given us your Word. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Lord, we're delighted that you have not left us here with no guide, with no word, but you've shared your heart with us. You've shown us your love. You've shown us the cross. You've revealed thy Son. You've revealed thy will. Thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that today, as we go to our various classes and learn ways and means of getting into thy word that we might feed our souls, God, we pray that the Spirit of God would use this day in our lives that we might fall more in love with thy Son and be better equipped in his service. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.